This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome, my friends, to What's On Your Mind. We have a busy Friday edition of the program. We're going to get to an interview with Governor Doug Burgum momentarily, recapping the legislative session. We told you yesterday that we had an interview we'd air today. We asked for your questions. We got some, and we tackled the topics that our listeners asked us to talk about. We're going to do that. Senator Kevin Cramer will be here next hour. Talk Radio Town Hall. We've had a two-week hiatus on our chats with Senator Cramer, so I'm sure your questions are pent up and raring to go. And if you want to get him in right now, that's the best way to get him answered. Send us a text at 701-367-2054. Todd's at 701-226-8503, or you can call us during the program as well. Love to get your questions in. Always available to call our 24-7 line at 855-200-1776 as well on the program. Happy Friday, everybody! Happy Friday. We're hoping for spring now that May is here. Do you know the big story of the day that you probably won't hear a whole lot throughout the media because it's good news for Donald Trump's policies, good news for the Republican-led Congress and the tax reform last go-around? Our unemployment rate is the lowest since 1969. In April, 263,000 jobs were added. Woo! Folks, that is a smoking good report. Unemployment now has been at or below 4% for 14 consecutive months. The U.S. economy has had net job growth for a record 103 straight months. Incredible. Construction jobs up by like 33,000. Average hourly earnings 3.2% higher than last year. This is very good news for the re-election of Donald Trump because this will crowd out everything. And if you want to know why, you know, Chuck Nadler and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these Democrats that are a broken record on something that has been exhaustively investigated, it's because of that. They're hoping you hear their noise, not the facts. That's what's going on. You need to know that. No doubt about it. Here's a little encouragement. I got a text, I guess an email, from a listener last night saying, I've texted you a few times while listening to you. You always read or comment on them on the air, and I thank you for that. Listening to you restores my faith in friends, family, and country. Don't give up hammering on topics like abortion, socialization, hypocrisy, or liberalism. I believe one day history will ask, how could a nation of people have been so barbaric in killing these little ones? No kidding. It nearly physically upsets me. Keep up the fight. Living close to Devil's Lake, we always watched news on WDAZ, Channel 8. He's asking me a question about where we can find unbiased television news. I'm not sure, but I'll ask our listeners. You'll have to decide that one. Let me know. Is there a news channel you watch that you feel like locally is giving you a fair shake? Newspaper, TV, radio, you answer the question today, and I'll pass that along to him as well. Okay? Let's get to Governor Doug Burgum. And we begin with his take, the big picture on the session, and what the best thing to come out of this last legislative session. The governor answers here.
Well, I mean, the best thing top of the line is no tax increases. And we were able to put together a conservative budget and deliver no tax increases, but make some very smart investments that's going to help North Dakota keep moving forward and take advantage of the incredible opportunities that we face as a state. But to make all that happen, you know, the money that's coming in is coming from the private sector. It's coming from the individuals, the businesses, and particularly the industries. In our case, we're so fortunate in North Dakota to have the oil and gas industry we do because 2 years ago when we took office, you know, we came in. The Dakota Access Pipeline protests were in full tilt. We had to cut $1.7 billion out of a $6 billion general fund. Funding that was an unprecedented amount of cutting that had to happen. Fast forward 2 years, and where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves back where we've got a record amount of oil production in our state, 1.4 million barrels a day in both December and January. And how does that happen when we had relatively low oil prices the last 2 years? It happens because you got entrepreneurs, innovators, people that are investing and lowering their break-even costs, getting smarter in terms of how they're able to extract energy in North Dakota, record amount of gas production investment, billions of dollars of gas production investment in the last 2 years. So we are so fortunate because it doesn't matter if you're a teacher who's getting a teacher salary increase or long-term care increase. A lot of that ability for us to fund the priorities that people, the legislature sought in North Dakota is because the private sector is doing a great job in our state, and we're blessed with the agriculture resources and the energy resources we have. And Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford and I and the First Lady are, honored to serve, but we're also working hard every day to make sure that we can deliver the best, most efficient government we can, and we took some big steps forward with that during this session.
I when asked what my impressions were of the legislative session, I said I think the headline is missed opportunity. Because, as you say, there's a lot of success right now, and there's a lot of things that could have been done that didn't necessarily get done, whether that be investments in big thinking or whether that is maybe a tax relief somewhere, because, as you mentioned, taxes didn't go up, but there wasn't, obviously a tax cut. Taxes didn't go up. Do you see missed opportunities? There are areas of that time that disappointed you?
Well, yeah, there were some missed opportunities, but I also want to say, hey, we had some really good successes as well. In the statewide UAS investment, we're on track to be the first state in the nation to create a air traffic control system statewide for beyond line of sight. That's going to attract all kinds of business investment, and not just for aviation. It's going to attract applications that are going to help agriculture and precision agriculture. It's going to help energy and transmission, our pipeline safety. So that's fantastic. K-12 education, that's a big priority in our state, and we're moving it up. We're going to cross the $10,000 per pupil payment for the first time in the history of the state. Infrastructure for water and roads, $500-plus million, $700, $800 million-plus for roads, over $500 for water. I mean, these are, strong investments in our future. And then one place that was tax relief, we took over all the local county social services integrated now with the state delivery system. So we're not eliminating any points of delivery, but eliminating the ability for counties to execute mill levies against that. So that's $174 million of local property tax relief, where the state is taking on $174 million of cost, but doing it more efficiently from going from, all counties down to 19 social service zones. So just, again, for our state, more efficient delivery system. So that's fantastic. And then first ever cybersecurity at $15 million in. We've got every K-12 student, not just the schools, every student, every higher education student, every state employee, all in the same email network. And every single day we've got North Korea, China, and other bad actors around the world trying to, break into our systems, because we've got financial data, criminal data, educational data, healthcare data for citizens across North Dakota. It's our job protect them, and the legislature stepped up and funded cybersecurity in a way where we can start catching up. We've been behind in that area. And then, of course, the tribal partnership, the tax agreement with MHA is going to help create a stable tax and regulatory environment, attract more capital in North Dakota, should help continue our industry to grow. So on those, but on your question on the misses, career academies, workforce, big opportunities. We had 30,000 jobs open, and we got some things done on workforce, but not enough. One-time funding for K-12 had an opportunity to fix that. We don't pay, in the Williston's, the Watford cities, and the West Fargo's, where we have new students showing up. More than in each of those districts, we have more kids that showed up this last fall than we have in 100 of our school districts. So we're dropping like entire school districts down on top of an existing school district and a new school district in terms of number of new students. And then we don't pay for it till a year later.
And there's a fix in the works, but it's like 6 or 7 years out, right? So
we had a chance right up till Friday afternoon.
Right.
There's a chance on Friday afternoon to do it. And this is the areas that are fastest growing areas in the state where we're trying to attract families to come here and put their roots down. That's where we're feeling the pressure in the schools. We spend almost $50 million of subsidies every 2 years supporting schools that are declining, but we're not. So we're paying $50 million for students that aren't there, and then we're not paying for the ones that are there in our growth areas. And we've got the ability to do both. We can protect schools that are shrinking, and we can do on-time funding.
Why didn't it happen? I mean, it seemed to be that we don't have the money. I mean, I actually heard that from somebody. We don't have the money. And then going to your veto of the legacy funds, and I hate to get in the weeds on this, but essentially how things are accounted when you have earnings from the legacy fund, where does that go? You can't hide it. Well, they did hide it, so then they say they don't have money. So I'm glad you vetoed that, so we can at least have some transparency on those funds, and people actually have a true picture of what's there. But is that why, for instance, on-time funding for K-12 did not happen, because they could say we don't have the money?
Well, you actually have to wait
for the answer for this. I hate to tell you that, but since we're going to the break, you could hear him answer that question, leave you in suspense. After this on What's on Your Mind.
Your Northern Region New Holland dealer invites you to see how much better a loader can be. New Holland skid steer and compact track loaders provide excellent visibility, an important advantage that allows you to work more confidently and quickly to improve your overall efficiency. You can easily see down to the bucket, while the see-through area on the cab roof provides a clear view to the bucket at full height. Rear visibility is among the best in the industry due to a large window, low engine hood, and no rear frame towers. See the difference for yourself. Stop by your local Northern Region New Holland dealer today.
Join the best team in the West, MBI Energy Services, with immediate openings for diesel mechanics, lube techs, and traveling mechanics. Committed to safety and job satisfaction, MBI has received national recognition for safety excellence and recently named the 2018 Best Place to Work in the Oil Patch. MBI provides excellent pay, benefits, and training, and is a strong supporter of our local communities. Apply today at MBIEnergyServices.com. MBIEnergyServices.com.
Hey friends, it's Matt the Pizza Guy for Pizza Corner Pizza. For many years, the Pizza Corner Pizza fundraising program has benefited local schools, sports teams, and other nonprofit groups throughout much of North Dakota. Customers have stocked their freezers full of Pizza Corner pizzas to help support their family, friends, or neighbors. Well, I'm happy to let you know that the fundraising program is still going strong and is available for your group or organization. Visit www.pizzacornerpizzafundraising.com for more details. Call today and partner with Pizza Corner Pizza and our fundraising program.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources, fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann, BuickGMC.com. Program cars with under 10,000 miles and pickups with over 30 miles a gallon. Some Canyon diesels. Check them out. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
All right, so 20 past the hour, we continue in our conversation with Governor Doug Burgum. I apologize, Fridays we kind of like to clear the deck, but just the calendar worked out the way it did today that we have the Talk Radio Town Hall next hour. So all of your questions, welcome next hour for Senator Kevin Cramer. Ring those phones off the hook. Today you're hearing an interview we did yesterday afternoon with Governor Doug Burgum, but asking your questions. But still, I feel like I'm missing a part of my Friday when I get a chance to talk with you about what's on your mind. We're finding out what's on the governor's mind today and talking about what's happening there. So before the break, I was talking about financial transparency and on the on-time funding, for instance, on education, where you have entire school districts being put on top of, school districts and not paying them for that. And then schools that are struggling and not taking care of them and how we could fix this. And what we heard was there's no money. There's no money. So, we asked the governor, wait a minute here. You have the money, don't you? Here's his answer. Here is his answer. K-12 did not happen because they could say we don't have the money.
Well, it ties into the that same theme, and one of the individuals that one of the two votes that voted against this is the same individual that is working to mask how much revenue we have.
I'm just curious why this.
Okay. Masking how much revenue we have. Get that? Let's go to the next part of that. I'm sorry, where is that, Dustin? Here's one. Oh, that wasn't it. That was the listener's question. We didn't finish on. Sorry, we're trying to find the correct clip here after the governor, where I talked about
planning is for people who can think on their feet.
Exactly. One time, or rather, on time funding for K-12 did not happen because they could say we don't have the money.
Well,
All right.
Working on it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to question five.
Your recorded radio is always better than live radio.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll come back to it. How about that? Let's go to a listener question. When all else fails, go to a listener question. We'll come back to the financial transparency a little later on. Here's a question that came in from the listener.
State auditor's duties were limited by him not renewing SB 2004 Section 3. A lot of us callers called in for him to veto Section 3. It's just one line item. Just wondering why he didn't do it.
All right, question on the auditor issue that was obviously legislation that passed. Your answer on that question?
Well, this is pretty similar. I think there's a lot of confusion out there, which is the auditor's budget increased by $1.3 million to FTEs. 58 people work in the auditor's office. That is a significant operation compared to many other agencies in the state, and they have full and unfettered ability to conduct fiscal audits as they do, which is the primary function of that agency, is to conduct fiscal audits. And they have, as been the practice forever, they report to a legislative committee those audits. And this just indicates that on a narrow piece of their work that they do, performance audits, I think as recently as this last week, only one person out of the 58 was working on performance audits. I think they're down, they have open positions because they've had some turnover, but it's a small portion of what that office does. And on the performance audits, the legislature, which in 1991 created the authority for the auditor to do performance audits, because the role of the auditor was created by the legislature, created the activity they actually do is controlled and regulated by the legislature, and they said, we want you to check in with us before you do performance audits. And that's within the purview of the legislature to do that, and it's a teeny small portion of the thing. But meanwhile, they increased funding and increased headcount. So the auditor's office is alive and well and growing and has the full and unfettered capability to do the fiscal audits. It's their primary function.
Should performance audits be decided in hallways and coffee clutches, or should it be in front of a committee that handles it?
Well, the committee, the legislative committee that handles this, meets in open public meetings, and the auditor can continue to do performance audits. He can come to that committee and say, here's my suggested areas where I want to do performance audits, and they can discuss it in a public meeting and decide yes or no. And so I don't see this really as much change over the current way that business is done today. And I and so it's I'm not sure what all the hubbub is about.
I'm kind of with you. And I still think a performance audit should be a whim. I think it should be, you know, not one or two people whispering in a hallway. It should be, hey, here's the concern that's been brought to us. What do you think? And so the objection to the legislature's work, as well as the lack of you honoring their request to veto it, seems odd to me. A question for
Governor? Well, we should just say, I mean, the bill that passed was passed unanimously in the Senate and passed with over, I think, 70 or more votes in the House. Is supported by both parties, and so this was a strongly supported bill. And you know, and when you it's one thing to veto thing, it's another thing to have the legislature not override it. So those are that's another component, because it's a there was obviously strong support for this.
Another question: is there a way we as a state can look into developing areas of Lake Sakakawea into a destination location? I know the governor is a great idea individual. I think it'd be great for tourism to pair with the Roosevelt Library.
Well, couldn't agree more. Lake Sakakawea, incredible resource. And I would also just say and give a shout out to everybody that works in the fisheries department of our, you know, state Game and Fish. Terry Steinwan, who leads Game and Fish, when he joined, out of college back in the 1970s, North Dakota had about 124 lakes that were stocked in fisheries. Now we have over 400. You could go to a different lake in North Dakota every day in a year. You wouldn't, in a full year, you wouldn't get to all of them. This is the first time we've actually had last year the fishing economy outstripped the hunting economy in North Dakota. And I was up at Drams Island State Park last year, up at Devil's Lake, and going through the parking lot up there and the campground up there, and this wonderful, amazing resource, Drams Island. If you haven't been there, go online, book a reservation. Might be booked on weekends. Get there on weekdays. Incredible fishing, incredible location. There was more Minnesota license plates than there were North Dakota. Why? Because North Dakota fishing is now in some ways eclipsing, including the walleye fishing is eclipsing what goes on in Minnesota. And we've got salmon fishing in Lake Sakakawea. We have sportsmen coming from all over for these North Dakota fisheries. But one thing we don't have is, because the shoreline of Lake Sakakawea is largely controlled by the Army Corps of Engineers, it is probably one of the most undeveloped from an economic standpoint of any water body that's a great fishery in our entire lake. Go to Lake of the Woods. It's, there have been 100-year-old resorts that are surrounding the thing for, every nook and cranny. And you come here, and it's all Army Corps land. But, we do have multiple locations, including two state marinas, Fort Stevenson State Park and Sakakawea State Park, which have got boat ramps, marinas, and places to check in. So if people are interested in taking advantage of it, they should. But absolutely, we got to keep working with the federal government, with the Corps, to figure out a way to do more development, because we could have a world-class resort on a world-class lake right here in North Dakota that would be a huge destination, and right now we don't have that.
More with Governor Doug Burgum after this time out on What's on Your Mind, Friday edition.
What's it like to live the good life in Watford City? We're asking Karen George.
It's not every day somebody buys a house, and buying a house is a big deal and a big decision. And when you can help someone who came from nothing, who didn't have great credit, and now they've got great jobs and they're making great money, and you can help them see that, look, you could actually have the American dream. You could own a home. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And it's so good to be part of that.
Learn more at voicesofwatford.com.
When higher education and business become partners, great things happen. University of Mary's new Workforce Development Initiative was launched to help employers meet today's challenges to hire and keep great employees. From project management to customer service, information technology to vital soft skills, the University of Mary offers programs to fit your unique business needs. Take your business to the next level with customized employee education programs from the University of Mary. Discover more about this new initiative at umary.edu/workforce.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. The government's April jobs report is out, and it shows the unemployment rate for the nation at the lowest level since December of 1969, dropping 0.2% to 3.6. And the jobs report also beat expectations for jobs created, with around 263,000 new jobs last month, when the forecasts were for about 185,000. A man who was plotting to bomb the New York City subway system 10 years ago will soon be a free man. Najibullah Zazi, who faced life in prison, ended up being given 10 years, which essentially amounts to time he's already served. But authorities say for almost a decade, he's cooperated with other investigations into terrorist groups, and his lawyer says he's a transformed man who unequivocally repudiates radical Islam now. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. This House Smarts Home Improvement Minute is brought to you by my friends at Ace Hardware. As you open those windows to let the fresh air in, it'll also cause dust to stir in the air, a lot of which will land on your walls. If you haven't done so in a while or ever, take some time to clean your walls. You'll be amazed at the amount of dirt you'll find. This can be a simple yet time-consuming task for a DIYer, or you can contact a cleaning pro to get the job done. For more information, go to HouseSmartsRadio.com. And now this.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's our biggest grill event of the year. The best time to buy the latest grills from our exclusive lineup of premium brands like Weber, Traeger, and more. Get free assembly, free delivery, and free fuel on our top grills and accessories, $3.99 and up. And don't miss our neighborhood barbecue fest this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy great grilling demos and expert advice. Only at Ace.
Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions. Propane tank not included.
You know, North Dakota's oil and natural gas supply is helping meet America's demand. They're committed to using the talent and resources wisely to build a strong, sustainable future for family, friends, and neighbors, proving that commerce and communities can work together for the good of all. Happening now with the Energy of North Dakota. Find out more at energyofnorthdakota.com. Senator Kevin Cramer, next hour, get your questions in now, 226-8503, to text it, or 367-2054. Continuing our conversation with Governor Doug Burgum. By the way, the financial transparency thing is very interesting to me, but we're gonna add that on the website. That'll be a website bonus for you. I'll put it on Facebook too because I want a discussion on that. So we gave you a sliver of that, but there's more in the conversation that we'll have Governor Burgum plus. What's on your mind plus a little later on. Meanwhile, let's go to a lightning round. More questions from our audience, and this question for the governor is, can we get rid of the state income tax?
Well, there was some discussion on that this time around, and you know, I'm all for trying to figure out how to lower the tax burden on North Dakotans. The number one thing that we hear when we're going around the state is people still concerned about property taxes, less so about income taxes. And the one idea that we had to, you know, lower income taxes was to use legacy funds. Well, legacy fund is a tax. It's a tax on oil companies. And so, again, if we think using, you know, taxing one group to lower the tax on another is a conservative idea, I might think that maybe we should just lower taxes on the people that are funding most of state government versus, you know, keep taxing them at a high rate and to eliminate it completely on everybody else. So it's a, there's a little bit of the transfer there that we'd have to look at that makes me skeptical. If I thought we could lower taxes because we were lowering the cost of government, making government more efficient, you know, then that would be a real win because we're actually lowering what we're spending, not just using money from one tax source to reduce another tax source.
Will the Prairie Dog bill lower property taxes? We're hearing about $250 million each biennium forever, no sunset on it, and we've heard that it would relieve some property taxes. Do you believe that will happen? Can we look back 2, 4, 6 years from now and say it happened?
It's going to be political subdivision by political subdivision. Let me just take cities. If a city took their Prairie Dog funding and they used it to build greenfield infrastructure at the edge, they will increase property taxes because they'll be artificially subsidizing growth on the edge that may not have a tax base to support it. If they take the Prairie Dog money and use it to either replace existing infrastructure that's aging in their core, which is likely where the cash cow that's paying for the edge growth already, or if they use it to for other things that are, you know, smart in terms of existing infrastructure, then they could potentially lower it. So it's individual results they marry. They will vary on whether or not a city or a county or a township finds themselves with having lower property taxes or not. But the good news is with Prairie Dog is those funds are not available till 2021. And so we've got 2 years through the Main Street Initiative to continue to do education, meet with the Main Street cities. We've now got over 63 signed up, help them understand the economics of how cities work and make sure that when they receive this subsidy from the state, that they're deploying it in a way where it will lead to more efficient footprints. Because if you want low-cost local government, low property taxes, you need to have a smart footprint and with smart infrastructure. And we've got to, you know, go out and educate people on how to get that done.
Next question is on farmers and ranchers and the overall ag economy in North Dakota. Trade deals very important, obviously, to the future. The new NAFTA, China's down to the last few minutes. Let's maybe start with first. How bad do you see things being right now for North Dakota farmers and ranchers?
I'm just curious why the state...
I'm not curious about that. I'm curious about what the governor thinks about farmers and ranchers.
I'm just curious why...
Let's try this again.
Well, I think the trade deals is one component of that. And, of course, we were, you know, take soybeans. We rapidly became a big soybean-producing state. We had access to, you know, one large customer, China. We had transportation on rail through the Pacific Northwest, the PNW. So we had, you know, we had great crop, we had transportation, we had a customer, and we that worked well. Then we get into a very much needed trade renegotiation with China, who has been a bad actor in trade with the U.S. for not just 1 year or 2 years, 20, 30 years, and the patriots that took the biggest hit were the farmers. And I like to say this negotiation with China didn't start till after last November's election because they were stalling to see if the President of the United States would cave in a negotiation because of political pressure relative to the fall election. He didn't. And that's when the negotiation started. And I think that in the next couple months, we're going to see real progress on trade with China across not just agriculture, but a whole number of fronts. And that's going to be a great thing for our country. Meanwhile, back to the soybean processing plants, you know, we can't, you know, when we ran for office, we said we can't be a state. You know, in 1930, the citizens of North Dakota created the mill and elevator and the state bank because we were too dependent on forces beyond our control. Now it's 2019, find ourselves in a position where we're dependent on forces beyond our control. So we need to make sure that we add the processing capability here, the value add agriculture here, the combination with energy here, so we're less dependent on that. But yeah, it's tough out there when you've got, you know, years and years of low or declining prices. If you've been somebody farming a long time and you had a big balance sheet, you can make it through. If you're a young farmer that was just getting started and had a lot of debt, things are very tough right now.
Will you be on the ballot with Donald Trump?
Well, I tell you, Brent and I love what we're doing. The First Lady and I are honored to serve all of North Dakota. And we certainly love what we're doing, and we're leaning hard in that direction towards continuing to come back and working on all the things we haven't gotten done. But, you know, today's not a day for announcements right now. But we're honored to have the opportunity to serve and love the opportunity to do it.
That duo seemed to work pretty good last time, I mean, both you and Sanford, but also you know, the president at the top of the ticket. You know, he remains very popular in North Dakota. So,
His policy and his administration, and, I mean, just again, I mean, we had just what in the last month, we had, you know, Senator Kramer coming with Secretary Acosta. We had Senator Hoeven here with Senator Kramer accompanying with Sonny Perdue for the back in North Dakota. You know, we continue to have great support across all the agencies. You know, we're working on like this statewide UAS thing. You know, we had a call a few back last month with Secretary Chow. You develop a relationship with him between the outreach they've made, the travel here, and the number of times that we've seen him in D.C. North Dakota has a very strong working relationship at the cabinet level and with the White House. And this is, it's great for energy. It's great for aviation, it's great for agriculture, it's great for North Dakota.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Well, I think one thing they need to know is that that North Dakota is really blessed. I mean, we're with the natural resources we have, with the people resources we have, with the institutions we have. Right now, things are great in North Dakota, and we have an opportunity to do some things that some other states aren't doing. I mean, we can be very nimble because of our small population that we have and our ability to move quickly. And I, you know, continue to see opportunities. When we ran 2 years ago, I thought, wow, there's opportunities to make government more efficient. And now you get in there for 2 years, and I'm like, I underestimated the opportunity that was there, because there's so many ways that we can improve the way we deliver services, so many ways we can serve the people of North Dakota and tackle, you know, big issues like addiction, like, you know, making some fixes in our correction system. And we're making progress across all those. Tribal relations, I mean, the tax deal that got done with MHA is going to help us create a stable tax and regulatory environment that makes us more competitive with, you know, with the Permian Basin, with the Eagle Ford, with the Marcellus, because we're, it's not us versus the tribe. It's the Bakken region versus every other shale play on the globe. And we got to take that global mentality into these competitive fights. And so I just want people to know that, you know, we had a great team of people that are coming to work every day, working hard. And we had a great collaborative effort with the legislature for the most part. We have a few things we disagreed on, but we got a lot of stuff done on behalf of citizens of North Dakota, and happy to be in this position, and so grateful that we, Brent and I, were elected to serve 2 years ago, and we're going to keep working hard every day we're here.
On the point of underestimating the amount of efficiencies you could bring, did you also underestimate how much opposition there would be to that?
Well, I'd say one thing that surprises me, you know, having spent my life in on the tech side of things or the information technology, you know, we're way far behind as a state. We have over 800 different legacy systems. You know, all of our IT efforts were siloed into, you know, each, you know, over 57 different agencies, nobody operating at scale. And now the world comes along and, you know, every citizen in North Dakota has got a supercomputer in their pocket called a smartphone. And we didn't have one single developer of the state of North Dakota that knew how to do a cloud mobile app, could write a cloud mobile application, not because they're not capable enough or smart enough, because they're working their tails off supporting old languages and old systems on 800 different legacy systems. So we're trying to move off of the legacy systems, free up that capacity, repurpose the staff so they can work on cutting edge material. And that's one of the ways, I mean, one of the reasons why we vetoed the driver's license, doubling the driver's license increase. Somebody said to me, well, hey, you know, we got to double it because we haven't raised it since 1988. And I'm like, we haven't changed the process since 1988. We still basically have like a teller standing behind a counter, you know, where a citizen has to walk in, you know, take a number, wait in line to go up to the counter. And somebody said to me, wow, you know, well, my experience wasn't that bad. A nice lady came over and gave me a clipboard, and I filled out my information while I was waiting. And I said, why? I should have thought of that. We could have given you a fax machine, too, and you could have faxed that form in, you know, to the, wouldn't have to walk to the counter. But, I mean, this is something that should be done online from home, so people don't have to take, citizens don't have to not only, would have been bearing the burden of having to pay twice as much for a process that hasn't been improved, when they should be not having to take 2 hours off from work, and they should be able to, you know, apply online from home. So, you know, we have to get into the, not just that, you know, it's 2019. We got to get caught up. I mean, some of these systems we're talking about, when I say legacy, we're talking about 1980s mainframes. You know, we're joking that, you know, one of them, if we've ever able to decommission it, we just move it over to the Heritage Center and have an exhibit over there, history museum.
There
exhibit.
You go. That's
so anyway, so there's big upside there, because if we build more efficient processes, we can deliver better services, do it with fewer people. The people that we have working for the state, the hardworking state employees, we can have fewer, better paid, better trained people working for the state in the future, and not just throw bodies at old technology systems.
We're going to save the big, my favorite topic for the last segment coming up here in a little bit, and that is the question of the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Museum. $50 million commitment is there through a variety of funding mechanisms, one alone to the project, but now. That leverages $100 million in private investment, which I believe they've already raised a pretty good amount of. So we're going to find out more about that when we come back on the program. Chat with our buddy Jim the Flagpole Guy. Get ready for Senator Kevin Cramer and your questions and comments as well. Not too far away, so get ready for that coming up. All right? After a short timeout on What's On Your Mind, brought to you in part today by our friends at MyPillow. where the mattress topper is 30% off. Plus, they throw in two standard MyPillows. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Great deal.
Everybody knows that two minds are better than one. Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces to provide you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. To find out how, go to ramjacknorth.com. That's ramjacknorth.com.
For a few years, you've heard me talking about Every Day Made Better. I live it. In a hot spring spa from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Vince Webker, the owner, is here. So, Vince, I'm telling you, nobody should go through a winter like this without a hot tub, a sauna from Hot Spring Spas.
Well, nobody should go through life without a hot tub or a sauna. It actually makes you live better, possibly live longer. It corrects your wellness sins. You do things better by sitting in a hot tub or a sauna daily than you do without, because it does some stuff to the body that we could get into technically. But as I always say, it makes you physically better, mentally better, relationally better. To go through life without one, I think is tough, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we're 25% more stressed out this year than we were last year, and it's just a way of life. And this thing is a true blue stress reliever.
And great financing right now. 60 months, no interest. 5 years, and you don't make your first payment for 6 months. Plus 12 months, no interest, no payments. That's another option. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online at hotspringnd.com.
Hello, I'm Jim. I'm ndflagpoleguy.com. Spring 2019 brings a new opportunity to shine a light on liberty. We install American-made flagpoles, flags that honor veterans, and all American-made flagpole accessories. We are out to make sure every business in North Dakota and the surrounding area has a flagpole. Check out our website at ndflagpoleguy.com for anything you need, or call me, 701-571-FLAG. And thank you.
Everybody knows that two minds are better than one. Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces to provide you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. To find out how, go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
Before the top of the hour on What's On Your Mind, Senator Kevin Cramer and answers your questions in the Talk Radio Town Hall next hour. So get those in, folks. More of our conversation with Governor Doug Burgum now, and the big question for last. My big question. And that was on the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library. Here it is, folks. I know you're waiting for it. Last question. I didn't ask you about my favorite project that came out of the legislature, and I believe it might be your favorite, too, and that is the possibility of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum
at the entrance to the park in his name. You and I have talked about that before. Obviously, it was a bit of a heavy lift in the legislature, but got it done. And now give us a quick update. How long do you expect to have, in the fundraising phase, if you will, to make sure the projects are go?
Yeah, well, kudos and thank you to all the courageous legislators that stepped up to help pass the legislation that creates an endowment held by the state at the land board. That endowment stays there, doesn't go anywhere, unless the private sector raises $100 million. So as you say, I mean, that was not the finish line. That was the starting line. Now we get to go out and try to raise $100 million. We've got over $50 million have been verbally committed. I'd like to think that before the legislature get back in 2 years that we can possibly raise the other 50 and then have a real project on our hands that could help, transform the state of North Dakota and really be a world-class tourist destination that would really change not only how we think about ourselves, but honor the man who transformed himself in North Dakota and went on to be the foundation of the 1900s, the American century. He was behind so many different aspects of it, and a great opportunity for us for, K-12, higher education, tourism, a lot of wins here. And again, a great use of taxpayer money because, if any time I can spend a dollar taxpayer money in an endowment that stays within the state and use that to raise $100 million, I'll take that day. I mean, I'll take that 200% return before the dollar even leaves the state. I wish every dollar we spent out of the state of North Dakota was as tax efficient as what we've got on the library. This will be probably the number one most efficient decision made by this legislature. And again, kudos to the legislators that created this opportunity for us to go out and see what we can do.
And the opportunity that could bring every living president to the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, which would be exciting.
It sure would. Thanks, Governor.
Thank you, Scott.
It was a fun chat with Governor Burgum. As we mentioned, we did drill down a little bit on financial transparency, something I've been talking about quite a bit during the session, and just the power of the, you heard the governor refer to the chairman of a committee. He was talking about Jeff Delzer, and I brought that out in our conversation, which we'll share online, just to get into how can we determine with some quick math that $2 billion will be the starting point from all these pots of money in the next session. And so we know those dollars are going to be there, and they were taken off the table in this legislative session. That is pulling decisions away from lawmakers and ultimately from people. So not good. Needs to be fixed, and we talk about that in detail, but it's just one of those sort of in-the-weeds topics. You know what's not in the weeds? Patriotism. Flying the flag. Standing up for America. And our buddy Jim the Flagpole Guy is here to put a cherry on top of this hour on What's on Your Mind and talk about just that. How's things going, Jim?
Pretty well, Scott. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be following the governor. It sounded like it was a very good conversation. Scott, Americans are awesome. We're busting at the seams, and we're getting lots and lots of calls and lots of submissions, and we're hoping to break records this year, and I just kudos to America. I'm just so proud to offer this flagpole to the state and the surrounding states and Americans. And the stories that come in, and you just get to hear the exceptionalism of America. Today, I just stand in gratitude and say thanks, Scott.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I know that this is a great story. In fact, I talked to someone yesterday who was just starting a new business, and he said, Jim, the flagpole guy inspired me. I said, well, how's that? He said, well, I heard him call in when somebody was looking for, American-made flag products and then later tell you that led him to believe that there was a market for more flagpoles. So he leaves the construction industry and starts building flagpoles and becomes Jim the Flagpole Guy and builds a business just from a call to a radio talk show. So he said, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to identify a need, getting out there. And, so it's just so darn cool. It really is. And North Dakotans obviously are so open to this, and I never like excluding South Dakotans or, Eastern Montanans or Western Minnesotans, because there's a lot of good folks here in the Northern Plains for sure, and we love it when they display their patriotism and also when businesses do, because to operate a business in the greatest country on the face of the earth is a blessing in and of itself right there. So all you got to do is give Jim a call. What's the popular flagpole height this year? What's the range?
Well, when you have different customers, you have different classes and everything. And recently, farmers, they're, you know, they got the big shops and the big barns and everything. And hats off to Kayla and Bill Schmidt out of Wheaton, Minnesota. They're going to go with a 40-foot pole. But they've got big shops and big equipment. And 40-footers are seem to be hot this year.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as a phone call, folks. 701-571-FLAG, ndflagpoleguy.com. And by the way, if you see a business and the flags, you know, in some sort of disrepair that happens once in a while, give him Jim's number because he'll keep him in the, he'll keep him in the flag, make sure we're doing Old Glory proud by having a flag that is in proper shape to honor this great country. 701-571-FLAG or online at ndflagpoleguy.com. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Scott. God bless you. God bless America.
Amen. Senator Kevin Cramer is here for a full hour of your calls, questions, and comments. So let's have it. A lot have come in already, and we'll take more. Let's go. Ethanol is very important to North Dakota agriculture, and it's important to Castleton, North Dakota. Morgan Fornes, superintendent of Central Cass Schools, tells us how important the Carlson Ethanol Plant is to Castleton and the region.
Well, we certainly couldn't have done what we needed and what happened here in the last 2 years without the ethanol plant. You know, not only are they a great, you know, tax-paying entity for the community, but the investment in creating a vibrant economy here locally in the city of Castleton and actually regionally with the agricultural community is second to none.
That tax base has expanded the school for 21st century learning, plus a beautiful new athletic facility. But the impacts are community-wide.
The businesses in any community is vital to the success of a community, and the ethanol plant is just a great example of that. Not only the economic power that they bring to the community, but job creation, tax-paying entity, everything along those lines.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us and advertise at gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.